morning. I'm Marilyn Smith, and we're talking about restaurants here on All Sides Weekend today. We're going to take a look at the Columbus restaurant scene with WOSU restaurant reviewer Rich Terapak, John Champlin of Columbus Monthly fame, and John Christensen, who is the food critic for the Columbus Dispatch.
Fast John, we call him.
Well, at least we have two Johns this week. The only one I have to really remember is Rich. We were talking a little bit before we got on the air about Indian restaurants, and there seems to be a sudden proliferation of them here in Columbus. And John Christensen, you mentioned that there is one new one called Bollywood Bistro.
Yes, it's in the Carriage Place shopping center on Bethel near Sawmill. And it is a fairly plain space that is ringed with large posters of Bollywood stars.
And
they pretend to divide the
as well.
Do we know any of them by name?
I can't say that I recognized any of them.
Yeah. But So many of these ethnic restaurants seem to get their start on Bethel Road.
Yes. In fact, this is just a few doors up from Bali, the Indonesian restaurant. Mm. So I guess there's some kind of alliteration there.
Yeah.
Be that as it may, they have a fairly, I'll call it commonplace, but not in the bad sense of the word, Indian menu. I mean, it's the kind of Indian menu that people in Columbus would have killed for 10 or 20 years ago. But now it's the kind of menu you find at many of the Indian restaurants. And it's divided according to movie cliches. So, so it's kind of a pain to negotiate.
Unless you're a big Bollywood fan, then you know.
Yes,
take your fan club to one corner.
Even then, it's not going to make any sense how they divided it. Yeah. But some of the food is pretty good. It's one of the former owners of Sherry Punjab, which it was a three-person partnership that broke up two or three years ago. And this fellow went to Findlay to open an Indian restaurant, which I think shows a lot about where Indian food is going in Central Ohio.
Wow. Everywhere.
Is that university-driven, do you think? Where's the Indian population to support that many Indian restaurants? I mean, I like Indian food, but I don't go back
to it. It used to be entirely university-driven because the first and longest one was just north of campus.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's driven, I think, by an increasing Indian population.
Yeah.
And maybe some of the downturn has caused some of the IT people who had come over here to work in IT to look into the restaurant.
Do a little entrepreneurial restaurant business. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whatever the reason, these restaurants are being supported by both the resident Indian population and regular Americans who are looking for spicy food.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a new Indian restaurant on Grandview Avenue at the site of what used to be Tom's on Grandview.
Yes.
And it's AAB, and I'm not sure if you just say AB or how you pronounce it.
I haven't heard it said or pronounced by any of the people who work there. But that's opened by the owners of
maybe it's an acronym.
Of a well-known Indian restaurant in Cincinnati. The food there is not bad. The training of the staff is probably deficient and hopefully something that they'll look into. With respect to Bollywood Bistro, the food is, I think, on the whole, quite good. Some of it is quite distinguished, if you can get past the way the menu is organized. And it is extraordinarily low priced. I'd say the majority of the entrees are below
$10. Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm. And they don't seem to be cutting corners either.
That's great.
Now, is this
another reason
for
the popularity?
There's a trend I'd like to see continue.
Yes, it is open for lunch. I think at lunch it's mostly a buffet. But at dinner you can absolutely order from the menu. And then there's another new entry way out in Hilliard, way out on Roberts Road near the intersection with Rome-Hilliard Road called Venky's Spice House, V-E-N-K-Y. And that it's in a very nicely furnished space right next to a huge grocery operation owned by the same people that sells Indian and Middle Eastern ingredients. And they use a lot of them in the restaurant. It's some of the spiciest Indian food I've seen in Columbus. And by that, I don't mean spicy hot. Mm. I mean flavorful.
Okay, I'm leaving now.
So people who think that too much of the Indian food they've been getting is on the bland side should go to Venky's. Again, that's way out on Roberts near Rome Hilliard Road.
I would think that there is an effort on the part of anyone who runs an ethnic restaurant to kind of tone it down for the American taste buds, for the American palate, that not everything is going to be as spicy here as you might get it in the country of origin.
Right, but this is a different kind of spicing. At Venky's, if you order something mild, they simply cut back on the hot peppers. And I've never seen that happen before. At most of the others, if you order something mild, and by the way, they all three of these ask you on a scale of either 1 to 5 or 1 to 10 how you want it. With virtually all of the others, if you want something mild, they just cut back on everything because it's already mixed up, which means that you get shortchanged. If you can't take hot peppers, you don't get any of the other spices.
I see. Huh.
But what's unusual about Venky's is that it's going to have a lot of the flavor regardless of your heat level.
Mm-hmm. 292-8513. We're talking about the Columbus restaurant scene, and we've started out talking about Indian restaurants this morning and apparently a proliferation of them here in Columbus. We also talked about the difference between the cuisines of the northern part of the country and the southern part of the country. And, John Champlin, you said it went even deeper than that.
Oh, my God. India is perhaps the most complicated country for different cuisines I know of. Mm-hmm. China's close. I'd probably have to travel a year on each one to decide this issue. In case anybody wants to send me, I'm available. But it's magnificent.
Carry your bags.
magnificent variety. It's impossible for somebody to keep track of it from this distance.
Hmm.
I try, but it's impossible.
And is it reflected in the restaurants that we have here, or not so much?
Not nearly as much as it could be. Remember when there was a rage for Sichuan restaurants, what was that, 10, 15 years back?
Mm-hmm.
Picking out one regional cuisine from China.
I thought that was a disaster.
So did I, because it flattened Sichuan food and distorted it all beyond
recognition. Yeah, basically we got a lot of extremely oily food cooked with lots of hot peppers, and that was it.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
And we have an email. Whoops. Well, we did have an email there from Kim. It's about the old Wendy's restaurant on North Wilson Road off West Broad. It's called the Food Corner. And from the outside, it's very difficult to tell what's inside, but she says it is full of excellent food and service. There's an all-day, everyday Indian buffet, and they also serve Indian, American, Greek, and Mexican entrees. Well, that's kind of unusual. And the buffet is $6.99 and says it's a great little place. This is a place I have not heard of. Again, it's over on the west side.
The Food Corner? Is that
called the Food Corner, and it's in the site of an old Wendy's restaurant.
It's right next to a huge cilantro field. No.
Well, it might as well be Indian, American, Greek, and Mexican entrees, which is kind of an odd combination. Yeah.
Well, things that seem to be happening on the west side at long last. I mentioned Venky's Spice House on Roberts Road, but if you go directly across Roberts Road from Venky's, there's what sounds like a Mexican place, La Famosa. There's a grocery store by that name close by, but there's also a very large restaurant in that same strip that is anchored by a new Big Lots store. And they are very Caribbean and South American in their menu makeup.
Hmm.
And it's the kind of place you wouldn't expect anywhere in Columbus.
And the quality's
good?
The
quality's quite good. So it's definitely worth a trip for
people
who are interested in food.
Well, it certainly is now, but I can remember when I first moved here, there may have been two or three restaurants downtown, and that was pretty much it. I mean, for fine dining.
Oh, tell me about it. I moved here in 1965. McDonald's was exotic.
Well, we had the usual ones downtown. There was the Paoletti's, the Keenings, all of those kinds of places. Danny Deeds, Merrimore.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was really just a handful.
And now we have so many that are under the radar that are really worth visiting. I was thinking of that when I was at the Worthington location of Cafe Daniela.
Mm-hmm. A wonderful little place, yeah.
Yes, it's open now for dinner only because they've they're putting a lot of their energy into the place downtown. But I was struck by the low pricing and the use of really great ingredients. For instance, a salad dressing that actually tasted like it was made with real olive oil.
And John Champlin is providing our sound effects this morning. We are talking about restaurants here in Columbus, 292-8513. And we have some inquiries from Facebook. Anne wants to know what's up with the Afghan eatery going in at the old Dairy Queen at Ackerman and Olentangy. Anybody know anything about that?
Not a thing.
Which is right up the street here. Yeah. And there is that little Dairy Queen that's right on the end of the strip of stores across from Applebee's. Kind of right next to Big Lots.
Hadn't heard of it, but I have to say, converting fast food joints into new ethnic restaurants may be my favorite trend in the world.
And we are seeing that more and more. We went out to a place on South Hamilton Road, was it? Site of a Thai restaurant.
Yeah, Richmond City's favorite place. I can't remember the
Indochine.
Indochine.
Yeah, it's a nice place.
A wonderful little place, and it apparently had gone into the site of a former restaurant. It looked like that anyway.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think it was a Wendy's, actually.
Huh. Yeah. Well,
Indochine had moved up the street from a pretty dismal strip shopping center.
Well, I drove right by it nonetheless because I'm always getting lost. 292-8513. So, Anne, we don't know what's up with that, but we'll kind of keep our eye on it. Karen says, my favorite restaurant is Cafe Bistro at Nordstrom. It's quiet, short menu with good food, and she doesn't like being overwhelmed with too many choices. This did come up on a previous show, I think, that that this is a very nice little place to eat.
It is a nice restaurant.
Mm-hmm. It's another example of these really good restaurants we have that are under our radar because I think we focus too much on the best known, the top restaurants.
Too many times are you asked, what are your new top 10?
Yeah, and people are also too focused, yeah. I think, on what's new.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I realize that, you know, we all write for publications that try to keep up with what's new, but it's easy to overlook things that are going on and have been going on that are really well-priced and with food that you just don't mind eating on your own dime.
Now, is this a restaurant that's run by Nordstrom or is this an independent?
It's not a franchise. It's independent. They cook a lot of things right there from scratch. They have a great wood-fired oven and wonderful entree-type salads and a steady rotation through the menu.
I'm always surprised at how many people shop there regularly and don't even know about it.
No, I've been there a couple times and I didn't know.
You'd think they need to take a break from shopping.
Yeah.
It's also quiet.
Well, but if you knew it was there, but if you don't know it's there, you wouldn't say, I'm going to take a break. You'd go to another place at Easton to eat.
This place is quiet, which is
unusual.
An inquiry we get from, I think, all of our readers and listeners.
Mm-hmm. You go in and place your order, and then they give you the number and come and deliver it. It's
very sensible. Mm-hmm.
Which is something we're seeing more and more of as well. 292-8513, we do have a couple of callers on the line. We're going to take a break right now. We'll be back in just a minute or so with more on restaurants here in Central Ohio.
Get the stories behind the headlines every day on All Things Considered.
I think people that live with brain injury so often feel like people don't understand what they're dealing with.
The Brain Injury Association advocates for various groups working with veterans.
Most of these folks go through way more just one deployment versus we have in our entire life.
On your drive home, listen to award-winning coverage from the WOSU news team on WOSU 89.7 FM.
This is WOSU 820 NPR News. Thanks for joining us for All Sides Weekend. 74 degrees in downtown Columbus currently, cloudy skies today, and a good chance of afternoon rain showers, maybe a thunderstorm, a high of 85. Clouds tonight with evening rain and a low of 68. Showers and thunderstorms for Saturday, a hot and humid day, a high of 86. Some sunshine for Sunday with a chance of mixing with a little rain, also humid on Sunday, and a high of 85. All Sides Weekend continues. This is WOSU 820 NPR News.
Good morning. I'm Marilyn Smith. This is All Sides Weekend, and we're talking about Columbus restaurants. with a panel of restaurant critics today. We're talking with John Champlin of Columbus Monthly, John Christensen of the Columbus Dispatch, and Rich Terapak, who reviews restaurants right here at WOSU. And as promised, we have Brent on the phone. Good morning.
Columbus Restaurant with a panel of restaurant critics today. We're talking with John Champlin. Columbus Monthly, John Christensen.
Okay, Helen, I guess you're up. Well, maybe. Okay, this is WOSU. You're on All Sides. Uh-oh. I think I just cut him off, actually. Okay, go ahead, Brent.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to give a shout-out to a brand-new restaurant in Upper Arlington, Park Creek Kitchen, on Arlington Avenue. Right near the mallway at the middle school, that little group of shops there just opened about 3 weeks ago, I think.
This is down in Old Arlington, that little area?
Right, yeah, south of Lane, near the pool and the middle school. Just fantastic food. It's sort of a American comfort food theme, but with an edgy twist. They have really good artichoke soup, which is made with California artichokes and shrimp. There's a fantastic farmer's salad that has warm pistachio-crusted goat cheese on the top. One of our favorites is the smoked chicken sandwich, which is kind of like a Carolina-style barbecue sandwich, but the sauce is made with vinegar and orange soda, if you could believe it. It is fantastic. And some of the best walleye I've had in recent memory. So,
lunch and dinner?
Lunch and dinner, okay. Yes. And
okay, this is the Park Creek Kitchen?
Park Creek Kitchen, and it's in the area where Belisari's used to be, and then the Upper Arlington Pizza and Meatballs used to be in the same space, and this just opened, as I say, a few weeks ago. They have maybe 30 seats inside. It's a little hole-in-the-wall sort of restaurant, but nice decor, and on nice days they've got a nice al fresco space outside, too.
So many good new restaurants, so few meals.
Yes. Well, and my hidden agenda here is I live a block and a half from this place, so I'm trying to drive as much traffic to it as possible.
Keep it in the hood.
That's right. Right.
Well, I would think it's probably at least starting out as one of those little neighborhood places and will take a little bit of time to get some traction with people in other neighborhoods.
How's parking?
It's not bad. There's quite a bit of on-street parking, both on the street in front of the restaurant and around the corner. It doesn't seem to be a problem. And he's actually been pretty busy, although I think a lot of folks like me just walk there from their homes here in Old Arlington.
Sure.
Well, thank you very much for that suggestion, 292-8513. We're talking about restaurants with John Champlin, John Christensen, and Rich Terapak this morning. And Helen, if I can master the phones, we'll get to you. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you?
Well, except for inept, I'm fine. How are you?
I'm calling about a little place called Fixed Cafe, which is, they just opened up about 2 months ago, I believe, right next to Buffalo Wild Wings and
it's on Bethel
Indian
Road.
Place on Bethel, the Bethel Center.
And what's the name of
it? Huh?
What's the name again?
It's Figs Cafe.
Figs.
Figs Cafe and Bakery.
Yeah. It's one of the cutest places I've ever been. It's really small, but it's home cooking like you never had.
Well, again,
fried chicken, huh?
Another new restaurant on Bethel Road. And what is this now? Do you think American kind of cuisine, basically?
It's more of a fusion cuisine. There's some West African dishes, some basic American lasagna pieces. They've got fried chicken, collard greens. It's a fusion of things on the menu. They have lamb.
Wow.
Wow, it's a fusion menu. It's very nice. It's very small, but the owners are just wonderful. The food is wonderful.
Well, thank you very much for your call this morning. This is called Figs on Bethel Road, and it sounds as though it's kind of a potpourri of different
cuisines.
Different cuisines.
It's in the Bethel Center Mall. It's in the same space that used to be occupied by, I think, an ethnic bakery that had a specialty of certain Middle Eastern types of goodies, as well as savory pastries.
292-8513, and you can also reach us by email at allsides@wosu.org, and some people are even tuning in on Facebook.
Wow.
We're talking about restaurants here in Columbus, and we have Hussman. I hope I'm pronouncing your name correctly. Go ahead. Hi, are you there?
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
I would like to talk about some Pakistani restaurants in Columbus.
I'm sorry, what kind?
Some Mexican?
Pakistani.
Pakistan.
Pakistan, okay.
Yep. There's one on Bethel Road called Apna Bazaar. Have you ever heard about it?
Say it again, the name.
It's Apna Bazaar.
Something bizarre?
Apna.
Abaddon?
Apna, yeah.
Whereabouts on Bethel is it?
It's in the Bethel Mall, Bethel Center.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay, well, apparently you've stumped the panel. No one seems to know too much about this. But as we say, there are so many little restaurants and new places opening up all the time. We're always glad to hear about new ones.
Yep.
Anything else?
And there's one on Hamilton Road called Mecca Market.
Mega Market? Mecca Market.
Yep. Yep.
Okay.
Whereabouts on Hamilton?
It's on South Hamilton, yeah, near Refugee.
Okay.
Okay, and what characterizes food
Near Eastman
as
Shopping Center.
Pakistani. What are some of the characteristics?
It's quite similar to Indian food and Bangladeshi food.
Okay.
Yep, and like similar spices and everything.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your call today.
Thank you.
And we're talking about restaurants here on All Sides Weekend. If you'd like to join the conversation, 292-8513, and we have Rick on the line. Hi. Oh, not quite there. We were talking about the variations of Indian food and how complex it is and apparently how much people like it.
Oh, yeah.
It also fits in with the increasing number of people who are vegetarians because traditionally vegetarians have turned to Indian cookbooks for especially for their protein dishes. And now we have certainly every Indian restaurant that I know of here has a lengthy vegetarian list, and then a number of them are vegetarian only, and some of those are vegan only.
And there's the whole mystique of curry.
Yes.
292-8513 if you'd like to join the conversation. And we're talking about Columbus restaurants here. When this caller, Rick, called in about this little creekside bistro in Arlington, it's hard to believe there's not a lot of street traffic. It's a very residential area. I would think it would be difficult in that location.
It's that little kind of Tudor-looking building. That's,
There's really only that kind of one or two buildings down there. How do little places like that pull in people from outside of Arlington because they don't get, as I said, a lot of street traffic there?
Word spreads fast here.
Yeah,
I mean, look at Bazzi Italia, which is almost impossible to find.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the Bollywood Bistro I mentioned is getting steady traffic, but they have deliberately not done any publicity.
Mm-hmm.
They've had one of the longest soft openings I've ever seen. But I think the key to your question is what you said when you said small. I think the key to success in all of these startups is to keep them small enough that you don't have to have a huge crowd to fill the house.
Yeah, we've seen that.
Well, except, I'm sorry.
We've seen the place on Park, on Front Street, it opened up, it had sushi in the center of it. Do you remember? It was a couple years ago. It was a huge place, and you're intimidated just by the size. And then they started serving only in the front third of the house.
Yes.
And it's just not comfortable to walk into a cavernous restaurant and there are only six tables filled. It sends the wrong message. The place on the Cap.
They
had now four different locations, but I think they've now, kind of carved it up enough to make it feel more comfortable.
Yeah, Liu's restaurant.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And the other disadvantage with the large places is the tremendous amount of overhead that a new operator is taking on.
Mm-hmm.
How many people have cash to sustain losses for, say, 2 years?
But, on the other hand, when you talk about places like Bazzi, where you've got a fairly small inside dining room and the patio is almost bigger than the dining room in the back, so you've doubled your capacity in the summer and minimized it in the winter, which has a lot of implications for staff and for buying and for inventory, all sorts of things. I would think a lot of restaurants who have patios would have, similar problems, except that Bazzi Italia is so small.
And, as always, the problems – that anyone with the courage to open a restaurant faces are daunting. Look at it the other way around, though. Who wouldn't want to live in a neighborhood where you could walk to a really good restaurant?
Well, I'll tell you, a number of people who live around that particular restaurant have plenty to say about parking because they don't have off-street parking.
Right.
And
it was impossible to park before the restaurant was there.
Right.
I used to live in that neighborhood.
Well, now what they've done is had that lower part of the street up near Neal Avenue is permit parking for those people who live in the little four-row on there.
Can you sneak into the Giant Eagle parking lot?
They're not so good as Big Bear used to be really good about opening up that parking lot for ComFest and for Gay Pride Weekend and all sorts of events, the Doodah. But Giant Eagle is not – they've got it pretty well policed, and they tow cars right out of there. So, yeah, you're pretty much at the mercy of the valets over, you know, at Bozzi, as you are in most Short North restaurants.
But that simply turns it into what John was talking about, which is a neighborhood restaurant that people can walk to. If it's small and can be sustained by walk-in traffic from people who live there, then I think parking as a problem disappears.
Right, as long as it's confined to just the people who live
sure.
there. But, of course, these restaurants in the Short North are visited by everybody in the city.
Well, you know, you can also take restaurants into account when you move. I'm about to move in 2 weeks to a place where I can walk to Rigsby's, I can walk to L'Antibes, I can walk to the whole Short North. And that was a big part of choosing that neighborhood.
Well,
yeah.
292-8513, and we'll attempt to go back to the phones here. And Rick, go ahead.
Hi. Just want to compliment you on your great show. I just love your voice. It works so good with all your guests. It's terrific.
Well, if it weren't for these phones, I'd be fine. Thank you.
Anyways, I lived in the Short North. My wife had to move to Tokyo for a little while, and I took a place a little farther away from downtown, and I happened to get there, and I found within walking distance one excellent, super good Japanese, one little Japanese little market, which with a fantastic restaurant.
Did you move to downtown Tokyo or Columbus?
I'm talking about Columbus. One excellent southern Indian, one excellent northern Indian, and one fantastic Chinese, all within 2 minutes walking distance.
You're going to keep the location a secret?
Where do I live? That's what I want you guys to guess where I live. Cafe Hana, Akai Hana.
Or are you talking about Easton then?
I'm talking about Kenny and Henderson Road.
Kenny and Henderson is what I was going to be at.
The old restaurant Japan.
Kensuke Market is there, which is a Japanese grocery store with a little cafe interior, quick fast food Chinese, Tokyo style. It's so darn good. It's really super good. Cafe Dosa Cafe is up there, which is the Southern Indian vegetarian. Absolutely fantastic. Really, really unbelievable. And Sher Punjab is there, and Akai Hana, and Pacific. They're all not celebrated restaurants, but the value, the food, and the service, and the food is just sky-high good. So I was really kind of happy to find that I could get someplace where I could actually walk and do the same thing I did downtown, which I'm really happy about it. So just wanted to tell you about that little neighborhood with a terrific opportunities for eating well. So thank you so much for your great show. You're doing a great job.
Well, thanks very much, and thanks for your call.
You can wander further down the street and go to Cuco's or...
I go to Cuco's on Saturday mornings for breakfast. It's awesome.
Yeah. There's, you know, City Barbecue took off from that location. So,
but Dosa Corner, I think, is another one of those restaurants that's under so many people's radar, but which has really great food at absurd prices.
Absurd. I mean, I can't hold $10 worth of their food.
No.
Now say the name again, because people are always saying that to us. We want you to repeat the name.
Dosa Corner. D-O-S-A. Corner.
Okay. And
it's what, Old Henderson Road?
Yes, it's on Old Henderson, just
south
of Kenny.
It's east of Kenny.
East of Kenny.
Which is kind of an unusual place. That's where the original Hyde Park is, too, isn't it? Right in that area.
Original Hyde Park's on Old Henderson, but in the other direction. West. Dosa Corner is not the place you go for fancy decor. It's cinder blocks and kind of lurid colors of paint.
Well, that's sometimes where you get the best food, yeah.
Absolutely.
292-8513. We're talking about restaurants, and Rosemary's joining us. Go ahead. Hello.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Oh, this is Rosemary in Worthington. Just two, Lavash in the Short North, which is kind of a fast, casual concept. The owner's really attentive. And then also our friends, the Milanos, who have Cafe Daniela in downtown Worthington. Right.
Okay, you're talking about Lavash in Clintonville on High Street?
Yeah, Clintonville, I mean, yes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yes, and Lavash comes up in the strangest ways on this show.
It's a great place.
It is a wonderful place. It is a wonderful place. And we talked earlier
about Cafe Daniela is now downtown as well, near the corner of Broad and I.
And that's good news.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
For people who work downtown, you know, it's wonderful to have this talk about a little boomlet of restaurants on Gay Street and all in that area of downtown where there are now outside patios as well. And it's just too bad that it's difficult. I went to the Arts Festival last Friday, I think, and paid, I think I got 4 minutes of parking for a dime. And I thought that the city had dealt with this issue, but apparently I found
you're lucky to have found a spot.
No, well, I was.
And some of the parking also has certain gotchas, because while most of the meters are free after 6, there's some that go as late as 8 o'clock, sometimes 10 o'clock, and you have to
read the small print.
Yeah, you have to bring a lawyer and an accountant along with you to read the meter.
Or a food critic with a law degree.
Just a few of those around. Only two.
I'm glad the caller mentioned Lavash. That's another example of just top quality food with no reservations about virtually anything they do.
Yeah,
and
that's great stuff.
The price in relation to the quality that you get is extremely low. Mm-hmm.
It's a wonderful place, very clean, and we had the opportunity, I think, Rich and I, to share a table with someone, and there is that sort of atmosphere there where if one person is sitting at what is probably a four-top that you can kind of go over and say, you know, can we sit here with you? And we ended up having a really fascinating conversation.
He was a member of the extended family of the owner, and they've got a little. I think he has an interest in the pastry place next door. And we walked around the neighborhood with him afterwards. It was fun. It's one of those serendipitous kind of things.
And it's always crowded because people know that the consistency is there, the price point is there, and they are always going to get something very good.
And the owner's always there, too. Nasir has a life outside the restaurant.
Right.
Well, that's very important. We've kind of touched upon that before as well, that the presence of the owner brings up everything. You know, that he's inside, he's making sure that the service is good, that the food's coming out, all of that. 292-8513. We're talking about restaurants here in Columbus, and Lois is joining us. Go ahead.
Hello?
Go ahead.
I would just want to mention a restaurant in Granville opened a few months ago by the name of Marza, a very small storefront, and outside seating and excellent food.
Haven't been there, but I've heard good things.
Yeah, and I think the owner's there all the time, something you just mentioned. I think the owner's always there. She had stopped by our table, and it was excellent.
And where is this in Granville?
Grandview, like a storefront. It's excellent. Middle Eastern one.
She was a member of the family that had started Sinbad's many, many years ago.
No kidding.
And she has returned to Columbus and gotten back in the restaurant trade. Yeah. And I give that place really high marks, too.
Now, we went there, I think it was in March, and there was kind of a freak blizzard.
It was
very difficult to see from the street. It's across from St. Christopher's Catholic Church right there on Grandview Avenue. But, again, it's a place where the signage is not necessarily easy to spot, and that was a difficult circumstance.
They originally had decided to name it something else, and then apparently there's a restaurant in Cleveland by the same name, and they were enjoined from using it, so the sign they had went back to the sign shop, and they haven't replaced it. But, yeah, it's look for it. It's worth a find.
292-8513. We're going to take a short break here, and we'll be back in just a moment to talk more about restaurants here in Central Ohio.
Sean Hayes hosts the Tony Awards this Sunday, and he's up for a Tony for his performance in Promises, Promises. On the next Fresh Air, we hear from Sean Hayes and from Burt Bacharach and Hal David, who wrote the music for Promises, Promises. Join us.
And Fresh Air begins in 20 minutes. It starts at noon right here on WOSU 820 NPR News. You are a continuous listener to WOSU, so be a continuous supporter by becoming a sustaining member today. As a sustaining member, your gift automatically renews, saving you and the station time and money. Give $20, $50, or $100 a month, and your sustaining membership will also help keep on-air fundraising to a minimum. To become a sustaining member, just go to WOSU.org/sustainer. And thank you for your support of WOSU 820 NPR News. 75 degrees in downtown Columbus. Clouds today, a chance of afternoon rain and a high of 85. Clouds tonight with a good chance of evening rain showers and thunderstorms, a low of 68 degrees. Showers and thunderstorms for Saturday, hot and humid for Saturday as well, a high of 86. And some sun mixing with a slight chance of rain on Sunday, humid with a high of 85. All Sides Weekend continues. This is WOSU 820 NPR News.
This is All Sides Weekend. I'm Marilyn Smith. We're talking with restaurant reviewers John Champlin from Columbus Monthly, John Christensen of the Columbus Dispatch, and Rich Terapak, who does restaurant reviews right here at WOSU. And we're talking with people in the audience as well. And John Champlin was saying that we're all learning quite a lot here today. There's so many new restaurants here in Columbus and in Central Ohio. It's just amazing. We have Peg on the line who's looking for lobster rolls. Good luck, Peg, but we'll see what the panel says.
Well, that's what I'm after, authentic East Coast lobster rolls.
Tough to find. You may have stumped the band again.
I've seen them advertised
on the
internet.
They're not hard to make.
No, all you need is a good lobster.
You need a good lobster and some mayonnaise and some tarragon.
All right, there's a place in Point Judith, Rhode Island, called Champlin's, that makes wonderful lobster rolls, the best fried clams on the East Coast. It is no longer in my family, but the people who bought it kept the family name. If you're ever in Rhode Island, go right down to the water. You can't – actually, it's Galilee if you want the town name of the town.
Well, there's so many references here, I don't know where to start.
Yeah, from here, it doesn't matter.
But let's talk with Rich Terapak, who knows how to make them, apparently. And they do look pretty simple.
They're not difficult. It's good lobster, and it's probably mayonnaise. You can put whatever kind of you can also put a little sour cream in the mayonnaise to mix it up a little bit. Add some tarragon, a dash of salt. And,
a little celery, maybe?
Yeah, you could. Yeah. And, and the roll has to be good. Where would you get the rolls?
Bake them.
Adino's has some good ones, but I don't know if you can.
Well,
the
North Market, I'm sure that at Omega or someplace like that, they've got a great.
Think they do the proper roll for a lobster roll.
No.
Yeah, I'm struggling to think where we'd find them.
Well, and they mix stuff in with the. They make a lobster salad, and I tried it, but they fancied it up. I don't want it fancy.
Yeah, no, it shouldn't be fancy. Shouldn't be fancy. You might have probably also a little lemon juice, I'm thinking.
Okay.
It's probably the kind of thing we ought to talk a place like Flatiron into doing.
You know, they could handle that probably.
Yeah.
Because they make so much of what they serve there from scratch, including the French fries.
And the oyster po' boy, which is.
Yes, and they also know where to get good rolls.
Ah. There you go.
So give them a call at the Flatiron and tell them what you're looking for, Peg, and see if they'll rise up to the challenge.
Hey, let's all take turns. We'll go there every evening and order one until they put it on the menu.
Yes.
Okay.
Well,
thank you.
Good luck with that. Thank you very much for calling 292-8513. We're talking about restaurants here, and Fred is joining us. Go ahead. Hello.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes. This is Fred in Worthington. Yesterday evening, my son and I went to Sushiko in Crosswoods and enjoyed some wonderful Japanese rolls. We didn't actually have the sushi, but the rolls were just excellent. And wondered what you think of Sushiko, and also wondered what you think of. I've never been to Sushi N. I think it's called up in Polaris. I was wondering about that restaurant.
Both first class.
Yes, I agree.
And the one at Crosswoods is called Sushi Ko, K-O?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, thanks very much for that. Well, there are many restaurants. I don't know if any of you eaten at either one. I guess John Champlin, you have.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
John Christensen.
I reviewed both of them when they opened, mm-hmm. and so I haven't been back since because you don't want to go around and show your face. But they were excellent.
Well, I would think
there's
you
not
would
a bad Japanese restaurant in the city, or if there is, I haven't found it yet.
Well, the competition staff, they have to be good.
292-8513, and Susan is with us. Go ahead, Susan.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
Yeah, I'm wondering if there's any place in town to get a good Mexican mole. I can only find the burrito taco family cook kind of place.
Mm-hmm. I think most of the larger Mexican menus that I've seen in the last several years include mole. Now, they're not necessarily of the same quality, but I would check out the one at La Famosa, which we mentioned earlier in the show.
Okay.
It's on Roberts Road. It's on the south side of Roberts Road, just before the intersection with Rome Hilliard Road.
I haven't been there yet, but La Plaza Tapatia, way out on West Broad Street, mm-hmm. Is worth a shot. They're pretty authentic.
What about some of the little trailers, the little Mexican?
They don't generally have mole,
no? But yeah. Oh my God, they're wonderful.
Yeah.
And you can find out all about them at ColumbusTacoTruck.com, I think is the address. Yeah. This is a website by enthusiasts, and they do such a good job. Yeah.
They have done a great job. Yeah. And
it's good to check because they do move around.
Yeah. They do. I think there's one just off Neal Avenue now on King. You used to see them almost exclusively on the west side of town, but they really are kind of
apparently there's
around.
One that's usually parked down on Lockbourne Road as well.
The best suggestion I think I ever made in a published review was that the Clippers ballpark get a Mexican taco truck to drive right in, but they haven't done it yet.
Well, they're just not listening. Keep saying it every time you're on. 292-8513, and we have Nikki joining us. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. I just wanted to recommend Phuong Huong. It's Vietnamese, and I believe it's on Morse Road. They have the best pho or pho that I found in the city.
What's the name again?
Phuong Huong. It's, I think, Phuong Huong.
And where in Morse Road is that?
Oh, it's just in a little plaza. I'm sorry, I don't know the exact location, but it's definitely worth a
How far east is it on Morse?
If we're going from Indianola mm-hmm. up onto Morse, away from High Street, you take a right, and it's probably a little bit past Carl.
Okay.
Okay.
That helps. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's kind of an international restaurant zone out
it
there.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah.
It
so
is.
If you keep going, you find Zanzibar before you roll into the different atmosphere of Easton.
That's for sure.
292. I'm sorry.
Also, it's in a great kind of rundown-looking shopping center with the wonderful name of S&M.
Well, that certainly is memorable, and especially coming from you. We had a caller on the line, an emailer, rather, that's suggesting the Rossi for Susan, who was looking for lobster rolls, and I'm not sure if it was actually Susan, but apparently the Rossi from time to time serves them, so you might want to give them a call. And
they'd probably
they
do a pretty good job.
I would think so.
Yeah.
And we've had a letter from Kirk here who says the Starliner Diner is one of the finest in Columbus. And, of course, that is another restaurant that's come up any number of times. It's in Hilliard, I believe.
Deservedly.
Yeah.
And that's a place I've never been. But
yeah, no, it's great.
I know. I'm getting
there. You've got to eat out more.
Well, I get up early. let's see. We've got another one from William here. Another great Indian place, he says, is Chuni's on Campus View Boulevard in Worthington. And I may be mispronouncing it. Chuney apostrophe S.
Oh, I think he's thinking of chutneys.
Ah. Well, maybe it's a typo.
Is quite good. It's spelled chutneys with no apostrophe.
Okay. So that's in Campus View Boulevard in Worthington. Scott wants to know what the big deal is about Graffiti Burgers. Now, we did do a quick review of Graffiti Burgers soon after it opened, and this is a new place that's kind of up against Five Guys. And
right, it's the local Five Guys. Kind of, it's Five Guys, but done locally by a couple of guys who work with another fast food chain. The quality of beef was good. They make their own burgers, so they're not frozen and overpacked. They do have Adino rolls. They put everything on the garbage burger.
They make their own milkshakes with good high quality
and
fries.
Yeah, and I don't want to diminish the purchase of the fries, but you only need one order of fries for a table of eight.
Yes, I liked it too.
Yeah.
Yes, and it seems to have sustained its initial popularity. It's the one on Fifth Avenue is just, I think, maybe on the other side of Grandview. It's right by the Giant Eagle on Fifth Avenue, just west of that. And then I think there's one on Polaris.
It was Old Friendly's location?
Old Friendly's location. There's one on Polaris, and I think we had a word not too long ago that a new one had opened, and that location is eluding me at the moment. But, I think everybody who went there, and they do have a junior burger for the more petite appetite, and it really was more than adequate.
Oh, yeah. Do they have a veggie burger as well? I think they do.
Yes, they have a quite good one that they make up themselves, which is unusual.
Yeah.
292-8513. We've got a few more minutes to talk about restaurants here with John Christensen, John Chamblin, and Rich Terapek, and Barry is joining us. Go ahead, Barry.
Yes, I just was going to recommend Cafe Luna or Luna Cafe, one of the names, on East Main and Hamilton in East Side. And it has Eritrean and Ethiopian authentic food. And I think it's just beautiful. It looks like we have one very classic restaurant right there. It probably needs to be given a chance. It's a brand new. I think it was 1 or 2 months on existence.
What corner is it on? I can't picture it. I live in...
It is just a little bit east of Hamilton. It's going to be on East Main Street, just a little bit toward east, going toward east on the left side by the shopping center there.
Okay, so it's on East Main Street.
Correct.
Near the intersection of Hamilton.
Correct.
And you say it's Cafe Luna?
Yeah, Luna Cafe or Luna Cafe or Cafe Luna, one of those two.
Okay.
I've been there twice or so, but it's just magnificent.
Oh, good news.
Yeah, great.
Well, thank you very much for that information. And I believe there's another Ethiopian restaurant in the Town and Country. Didn't we talk about that before? And we are seeing any number of Ethiopian restaurants open up now. For a long time, it was only the Blue Nile up here on High Street, but we're seeing little satellites.
Yes, we've got Ethiopian folks moving to Columbus. I am thrilled that some of them are going into the restaurant business.
292-8513, if you know of a good restaurant that you'd like to share. Let's see, Pam is joining us now. Hi, Pam. You there?
Hi.
Go ahead.
I'm just calling to see, what do you think of the Happy Dragon on Livingston? It is our sort of fallback, utilitarian, can't think of anything to eat tonight, Chinese restaurant.
Yeah, I live in that neighborhood, too, and I would say exactly the same. It's not great Chinese food, but when you don't want to bother, it's good enough.
Is this across from Ethnocentric? Is that the location?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The other, I would say two things on that menu that a lot of people don't know about. One is the stir-fried string bean, and the other thing is their cold sesame noodle, which are awesome. That's like ultimate cold, easy summer food. So thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. We did get an email from Amy, who is just moved to town and is looking for a Peruvian chicken joint. And I don't think she's referring to the joint as Peruvian chicken. But there is the little South American restaurant downtown in Pearl Alley.
Arepo, is it?
El Arepo. Okay. And they specialize in South American as opposed to Mexican food. But I don't know.
I don't know. But that's...
There is a Peruvian section on the menu at La Famosa. Which we
mentioned. Well, this is the answer to everything today.
Apparently. It's a large menu.
Okay. Amy, I hope that you'll take that. Tell us where it is one more time.
Okay. It's on the south side of Roberts Road, just east of Rome Hilliard Road. It's in the same strip with the Big Lots.
Okay. 292-8513. Katie is joining us with word about a Somalian restaurant.
Go ahead.
Yes, I've gotten to know some Somalis and garden with them, actually. And I know that their cuisine is quite similar to Ethiopian, but is there some place that specializes in Somali food?
As opposed
well, we don't
to
like
Ethiopian,
dead air.
I don't know of one that's specialized as opposed to Ethiopian.
I don't either. It's time, though. We've got enough Somalis in Columbus.
That's certainly true.
Yeah.
The second largest population in the United States.
Are all of those that are on the
States.
Corner of Cleveland and Morris, are those all Ethiopian? There are, you know, they're about three or four.
I haven't been to all of them. I don't
yeah.
know.
There, you may find one on the southeast corner. There's a strip center at Cleveland and Morris. And I think
okay.
one does identify itself as Somali.
Yeah.
Is Darbo Somali?
It's supposed to be. It's. I don't know if any of these are still in business, but I have Darbo or Diarbo marked down. Mark Bistro and Morse Road, a place in some kind of a mall at East North Broadway and Cleveland Avenue.
Okay.
And then Blue Star Somali at Cleveland and Cook.
Haven't been
okay.
there.
Well,
okay, does
you.
That answer your question?
That's great.
Good.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your call. We have had Crystal reach out to us on Facebook, and she says La Casita on Bethel Road is the best Mexican in town. There are probably other owners of Mexican restaurants who would take issue with that, but what do you think?
I haven't been there in quite a while, but I was impressed a number of years ago when they first opened.
It's good Mexican. Best would be there'd be a lot of contenders for that.
And Rich?
I guess I agree with Mr. Champlin. I think it's good. And we'll, yeah, it's tough. We still need not to mix up our languages, but we still need a haute Mexican restaurant. You know, something that's Mexico City Mexican with you know, chicken cooked with lots of olives and a little vodka or and the mole and that kind of thing. We need to upscale. We have the population. We ought to be able to do it.
Well, and that answers Diana's question, who is asking us through email what is missing in the city of Columbus. So upscale Mexican.
Right.
And you know what? High-end Chinese.
Yeah.
Everybody seems to be in agreement with that.
Yeah. So it's and the price points on either one of those shouldn't be that bad. Even in a recessionary economy, get out there. Some entrepreneur needs to open these places. And we'll just go eat it.
Well, we have seen a couple of new places open. The one on Dublin Road where the old TJ's used to be. Allegra.
Mm-hmm. Rancho Allegra?
Rancho Allegra.
Yeah.
And that seems to be pretty popular. It's certainly close to Grandview and to downtown. It's probably 5 minutes out of downtown.
And they do have a mole item there, and I don't think I've tried it yet. A couple of them. Mole chicken, I think.
Okay. In about 30 seconds, what is the difference between mole and more commonly known Mexican food?
Cocoa
it's the chocolate in the sauce.
It's the sauce,
conventional, but the truth of the matter is there's a jillion kinds of moles with all kinds of things in them.
Right. There's no one authentic mole.
Right.
Well, on that note, we are going to end today. We've been talking about restaurants here in Central Ohio. It's a program that we do about every once a month. We'll be back at the beginning of July as well. We're talking with Rich Terapak this morning, who does restaurant reviews here at WOSU, John Champlin, who reviews restaurants for Columbus Monthly, and John Christensen of the Columbus Dispatch. This is listener-supported WOSU and WOSU HD 820 Columbus, streaming on the web at WOSU.org. WOSU 820 NPR News. News from NPR is coming up right now. It's 12 o'clock.